Good morning. My name is Pastor Lisa Meister-Rondina. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Would you pray with me this morning as we get into our message? Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear from you this morning, the message that you have for us. Join us today as we come to worship you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I wanted to ask you, have you ever met or seen a couple and you thought, how did these two end up together? And so you come up with all these backstories of how this couple landed together. Well, welcome to the story of Hosea. And we are going to get into scandal and drama today, and it is going to be a PG-13 Sunday, so buckle up. So we get into Hosea 1, and we see this scandal begin. But I also want to tell you that we are going to see one of the most tender expressions of God's love in the entire of Scripture. So let's start here in Hosea 1. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." And I'm sure Hosea wanted to serve the Lord, but he was thinking, you know, how about like children's ministry or, you know, something like that? And he's like, I mean, imagine if this was a modern romantic comedy. And God is like, I want you to marry a woman who is going to break your heart so that you can understand how my people have broken my heart. And why would God ask Hosea to bring scandal into his home? You know, those of us in the public eye, we don't want scandal. Politicians, the royals, nobody wants scandal. And God is saying, I want you to invite scandal into your household. But I want you to keep one question in mind as we go through this message. What is the scandal in the book of Hosea? What is the actual scandal that is happening? So the prophets, right? We've been going through the prophet series, and the prophets were called by God. And, you know, we talked about parables in the series before that, where Jesus would tell parables, these stories with object lessons to teach things. Well, the prophets were many times living parables. They lived out God's directive so that people could see in live action what God was trying to tell them. And that's what he's asking here of Hosea. He's asking her to unite himself with an unfaithful woman so that he can understand the heartbreak of God. And so we see God's heart aching, relentless, and redemptive. The redemptive love of God. You know, so if Hosea was living today, and it was a modern day story, and God would be like, I want you to join Christian Mingle, and this is going to be your profile. Write this down. Professional prophet, loves long walks by the Sea of Galilee, seeking emotionally unavailable woman with history of running off with other guys, former priestess of Baal preferred, will ghost you and return with other men. And Hosea's like, how about the Proverbs 31 woman, right? The woman of valor, prophet of God, would be like this power couple. And he's like, how about this one on Instagram? She's always posting selfies from the gym with Jeremiah 29:11 captions. And he's like, no, the one with the 6 red flags and the Venmo link, right? And so Hosea's friends have a lot of questions. And you know, if it was like a Zoom call and he'd be like, you're breaking, I didn't hear that last part, God. I didn't get the last part. You know, he's like, why are you asking me to marry this unfaithful woman? So this Hebrew word, eshet zanunim, if you go to Israel, don't say, you know, I learned some Hebrew in church, and start throwing around this word, because it's kind of an inappropriate word. But it really means, sometimes it's translated prostitute, but it really means an unfaithful woman. And it is a picture of the spiritual adultery that was happening in Israel. So this woman's name is Gomer, and she represents Israel. But if we're really honest, she represents us. I mean, imagine the scene, even in this sanctuary. There's a wedding going on, and the groom is in the front, and the music swells, and the beautiful bride is walking down the aisle, and she comes to the front, and they're exchanging vows, and she's like, "I do," and she's texting at the same time. Not her mom, not her wedding planner, her other lovers, and she's like, "Meet you tomorrow, motel 6, 7 o'clock, be right back, I'm getting married." You know, it's just so scandalous, right? And this is Israel at Sinai, this is the church at Laodicea, and this is us when we say Christ is Lord, and then on Monday, we're pursuing status and pleasure and power. And Hosea comes in and shocks our system. And he throws us off of religious autopilot because God is being so raw and real. And he's saying to us, "You have left me, but I have not left you." And so Hosea's marriage becomes this picture of pain and heartbreak and ache. So what is the scandal in Hosea? What is the scandal? And as we go through the book, we see the structure of Hosea. Hosea gets married, and he has a family life. And then God indicts judgment on Israel. And then he comes back, and he has compassion and restores them, right? And in the northern kingdom of Israel at this time, they were in spiritual, moral, and political decline. They were worshiping idols, and their faithfulness to God's covenant was basically extinct, you know, and they were, I mean, the whole thing, idols, sacrifices, statues, everything. And we're like, we don't worship idols today, right? Until you see someone dropping their smartphone and they're doing the whole football dive to try to catch their smartphone, right? And like it's the Ark of the Covenant. And we're like, we don't have idols today, right? But if we think about it, we do. So I wanted to play a sound recording for you to demonstrate one of the scriptures in Hosea. And this is a sound bite that you might have heard before. And I want you to listen to it and see if you hear the word Laurel or Yanni.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay, so I've just conducted an experiment on all of you. How many of you heard the word Laurel? And how many of you heard the word Yanni? It's so fascinating, right? It's the same clip, but you are hearing different words. Well, I want to break it to you, but the word is actually Laurel, and there are these higher frequencies that have been embedded on top of it. So it depends on whether you can hear these higher frequencies. And you know, your brain is such an interesting thing. It creates these neurological pathways, and it's always making decisions about what it wants to focus its attention on. And so it's like what's coming into your ears and what's around your ears and what's in your mind. And there are so many of these things that are malleable, right? And our mind puts all these pieces together. And scientists can actually manipulate your conception of reality. So what you focus on shapes what you hear sometimes. And I thought that would illustrate this scripture, Hosea 2:14, really well, where Hosea said, it says here, God is speaking, "Therefore, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her." And God is saying, he's going to bring his people out into the wilderness, not to punish them, but to retune their ears, because they can no longer hear his frequency. They can't hear his voice, and he's not going to punish them. It says tenderly, "I will bring them out tenderly." Well, so Hosea and Gomer get married, and they have three children. And their children's names mean God's sorrow, or scatters, no mercy, and not my people. And these are the names that God instructs them to give to their children, which is kind of a lot of pressure for kindergarten. And they're like, no mercy, is your child going to be a professional wrestler or something, you know? So these names are given, and God is like showing his divine judgment. But it's really fascinating because he's creating this tension. Because when we get into the next verses in Hosea 2, there is this reversal. God changes all these names. And so we see in Hosea 2:23, these names were public, they were prophetic, and they were declarations of God's judgment. But God suddenly flips them on their head. And it's really hard to see in the English, but he basically is saying, I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will call not my people, my people. So there's like this ironic reversal that God is demonstrating. And it is one of the most beautiful theological patterns that we see in all of Scripture. Because what begins as a curse ends as a blessing. And what starts as alienation ends in intimacy. And I love the Old Testament because we always see it showing up in the New Testament. And this is the verse that Paul quotes in verse 9:25 when he says, as it says in Hosea, I will call them my people. And so we come to understand that in God's economy, he renames us with his grace. So God is saying, I will bring them out into the desert, and I will allure her and speak to her tenderly. And he's like, behold, look what I'm going to do. And this word seduce, allure. So it's not just about forgiveness, but it's about restoration. See, because God doesn't want to just forgive your past. He wants to re-seduce your future. And, you know, sometimes he brings us into this quiet place because we can't hear him over our Spotify playlists and our calendar apps and our work schedules. And he's like, I want to whisper my love to you out in the wilderness. Well, I know we have some lawyers in here. And Hosea 4 and 5 is really interesting because it's a legal lawsuit that's happening on. And God is bringing a criminal lawsuit against his people. And he's like, you have broken the contract. And here are the charges. And he is a divine attorney filing suit against his people. And there is accountability and consequence for these violations. But then he flips it around and he's like, you know, you broke the contract, you broke the rules, but really, you broke our relationship and you have broken my heart, which is so much harder. So we see this marital picture with Hosea and Gomer that God is trying to illustrate to us. And then in Hosea 11, we see this other depiction, this beautiful parental, it's like a maternal description we see in Hosea 11. And God is speaking, and he's talking about Israel, and he's like, I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. How can you not picture a mother here taking care of their child and lifting them up, so tenderly loving Israel? And so then we see the heartbreak, right, in Hosea 11, 8 and 9, where God says, my heart is turned over within me, and all my compassions are kindled. I will not carry out my fierce anger. And this verb is like he's in turmoil. It's like this divine, gut-wrenching pain. The people he loved have betrayed him and broken his heart. And so we see that the God of Hosea feels. He is not the unmoved mover. He is deeply hurt, and he loves so deeply. And then we get to the end of Hosea, right? So there's been this ongoing drama. Have you answered the question yet? What is the scandal happening in Hosea? And so we get to the end. He marries this woman. They have three children. She's constantly running off, and then she runs off again. And this time, it gets so bad that he has to go to the marketplace and buy her back. And imagine him trying to explain this to his friends, right? And his mom. Like, Mom, I know things, I said things were getting better, but she's run off again, and she's living in a caravan with a guy and a bunch of goats, you know? And so he has to go back and buy her from the marketplace. And so we see this in Hosea 3. It says, so I purchased her for myself for 15 shekels of silver, and then he has this measurement of barley. You know, and I'm still waiting, the musicians here, I'm waiting for someone to write a worship song about Hosea 3:2. And I am picturing in my mind a country music genre, and it's like, you cheated again, I still bought you back with my sack of barley and half my paycheck, you know, something like that. So, you know, we always say, like, God is going to make us uncomfortable. But, I mean, this is intense. How embarrassing, having to go to the public marketplace and buy your wife back from her current boyfriend. I mean, this is scandalous, right? I mean, if Hosea was alive today, he'd be on Craigslist, you know, looking for wives for sale, and he's searching for her, and he's going to the marketplace. And why mention the price, this silver and this barley? Well, we see this in Exodus 21. This is the price of her servant. He's paying for her, right? And so we see this depiction, and it's so raw and real. And so we understand something here, that redemption, because we use this Christian word a lot, redemption, redemption, right? And we understand that it's not abstract, that it's economic, it's physical, and it's humiliating. And we see the price here because we come to understand that redemption always costs something. And so Hosea goes into the marketplace and he's like, that one, she's mine. Name the price. And you can hear all people saying, like, you're gonna take her back? You know, like, bro, how about you get a pet or something, you know? And she's like, nope, she's mine. So what is the scandal in Hosea? What is the scandal? And you know, as scholars and readers of the Bible, we always want to read the scripture in its context. But it is really, really hard not to see the foreshadowing of Christ in Hosea. Because Christ walked into the marketplace of sin and said, that one is mine. Name the price. And he paid the price with himself. And so when we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians 6, it takes on a whole new meaning where it says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Because Christ didn't come just to redeem one person, but to redeem the race. And so we see in through all of Hosea that adultery is being used as this metaphor for this spiritual unfaithfulness, where people are worshiping idols, and they're trusting foreign nations, and they're chasing prosperity, and all these forms of spiritual unfaithfulness. And we see ourselves tonight, right? Like as a picture today, this morning, that we cheat with success and attention and comfort and self-reliance. And God is saying that idolatry is not just about bad behavior. It's about broken intimacy. He wants you. And so we see every beat of Hosea echoing forward to Christ. Gomer is the church, unfaithful and wavering. Hosea is Christ purchasing us back. The marketplace is the cross, and the price is Christ himself. And so all these verses that we read make so much more sense, like Ephesians 5:25, where it says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so Hosea takes on this whole new meaning, right? And what is the scandal in Hosea? What is the scandal? Have you guys figured it out? Well, we always want to say Gomer, right? Gomer's the scandal. She's unfaithful, and that's the scandal. But the real scandal in Hosea is that Hosea keeps loving her. That's the scandal. And that's the scandal of the cross. And how can I say that Hosea reminds me of Christ? How can I say that? Well, Hosea, the name in Hebrew itself, means salvation. Hosea translates as salvation. So today, God doesn't just want your obedience. He doesn't want you to just obey a bunch of religious rules. He wants you. He wants intimacy. And he misses you when you wander. So let him speak to you softly and tenderly. Let him re-seduce your future. And let him carry you when you can't walk anymore. Because the gospel isn't just Hosea's story. It's your story. And the scandal is not your unfaithfulness, because that's predictable. The scandal is God's faithfulness. And Christ married a church full of Gomers, and he walked into the marketplace of sin and said, "She's mine. Name the price. He's mine. Name the price. They are mine. Name the price." And he didn't pay with silver, and he didn't pay with barley. He paid with himself. And he didn't marry a beautiful bride. He married a broken bride, and he made her beautiful. And today, God would say to you, "You may have left me, but I have not left you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and the way that you love us so tenderly and relentlessly. We come to you today offering our love. Speak to us softly as you whisper to us in the wilderness. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.